Alan West came to the East Coast from his home in Arizona to look for Carolina Bays. He's a geophysicist, one of 26 authors on a scientific paper that proposes an extraterrestrial origin for the bays. It's pretty exciting stuff.
A group of scientists came together over several years to investigate several mysteries at the end of the Ice Age. And the major one was why tens of millions of animals just suddenly disappeared. Animals have been very successfully living on the continent for millions of years, and then suddenly, almost at the exact same moment geologically, they went extinct. So we began investigating why. That's a big mystery.
At the same time, several other things happened. Climate, which had been warming up, all at once turned cold again, and stayed that way for 1,000 years. A little cold spell called the Younger Dryas. North America's humans nearly disappeared. What could have caused all this? West thinks it was something from outer space. Pieces of a comet exploding above a sheet of ice several miles thick that covered most of Canada and the Great Lakes at the time. West and his co-authors proposed what they call the Younger Dryas Impact Hypothesis. It suggests that the explosion killed many animals outright, changed the landscape so much that those left alive eventually died off, started wildfires across the continent, and gouged out the Carolina Bays.
It either hit the ice sheet or blew up over it, but either way, it would have produced an immense amount of meltwater, and this is already accepted by almost all scientists that there was a meltwater flooding at the end of the Ice Age, right at the beginning of the Younger Dryas, where we date all this evidence, and that meltwater was probably responsible for the Younger Dryas itself. So,
why? Because all that cold freshwater could have shorted out the warm Gulf Stream current that keeps temperatures relatively mild. That plunged North America into another ice age. And all these things helped bring to an end the Clovis culture, early humans who are best known for hunting mammoths with distinctive spear points called Clovis points. Clovis artifacts have been found all around the Chesapeake Bay and on the banks of the Chewan River, where West and two other researchers happened to meet local resident Paulette Campbell. Campbell had a table absolutely full of pottery fragments, arrowheads, spear points, jewelry, and tools.
They're definitely Clovis.
No doubt. Yeah, there's a flute right there.
Exactly.
That's the bottom of a Clovis.
Exactly.
And where did you find these?
These here are all in a 20-foot radius right down here at our public beach that we have.
Campbell said she's been hoping her artifacts could be tied to the Younger Dryas impact hypothesis. One of the researchers asked her how she'd heard about it.
Actually, it was watching the channels.
Watching TV. Yeah. That must be kind of odd to have the guy who came up with that stuff on TV pop up in your living room now.
Oh, that's
yeah,
you!
Yeah, he's the lead researcher.
God!
He's king of the YD. Right here.
You see, West is sort of a celebrity in his world. He co-authored a book called The Cycle of Cosmic Catastrophes that explained the hypothesis, talked about finding tiny magnetic grains of dirt and rock embedded in the tusks of woolly mammoths, and tied the whole thing up by researching ancient legends of catastrophe from around the world, including Plato's writings about the lost island of Atlantis. Since most writings place Atlantis in the Atlantic Ocean, you can see how an explosion powerful enough to blast 500,000 depressions in the coast could have carried offshore as well. So all of this, mass extinction, ice age conditions, lost islands and vanished civilizations, may be tied to the Carolina Bays. That's what brought West and his colleagues to Elizabeth City this summer.
We wanted to see, are they really impact related? And if so, could they be tied to this 12,900-year-old event? And so far, we don't have an answer for that. The way science works is you put out a hypothesis, but you don't know whether it's true or not, then you have to go gather evidence. So that's what we're in the process of doing.
West was accompanied by Malcolm LeCompte from Elizabeth City State University, and by George Howard, a wetlands restoration specialist from Raleigh. Howard and his friend David Kimball have provided many samples from the bays for West to analyze. George Howard.
Most of the real, you know, the established scientists are out west,
And then you got, you know, a couple of enthusiasts here. So we dig stuff and mail it out there. And we've sent more than a ton of sand out to Arizona and California over the last 2 years. I say myself, we, because it's me and a fellow named David Kimball. So Kimball's been the real muscle power behind it since then. That guy has been a Trojan. He has dug and dug and dug and dug and dug in bays and packed and sampled and weighed and counted and done all sorts of things to prepare samples.
From these samples have come evidence that supports the cosmic impact theory. Now, a lot of people don't agree with this theory. Over the years, many, many theories have attempted to explain the Carolina Bays. One theory, from the 1930s, said spawning fish scooped out the bays by fanning their tails. But how would those shallow depressions have remained intact while sea level dropped around them? Several theories have suggested meteorites, but no meteorites have ever been found in the bays. Another theory proposes that prehistoric giant beavers created shallow ponds that exploded into steam when a comet or meteor arrived, blasting boiled beavers and soil alike into the great beyond. But a lot of theories say the Carolina Bays were made by nothing more explosive than plain old wind and water. Essentially, they say, wind scoured out the depressions and water smoothed the rough edges into ovals. But the samples collected by Howard and Kimball have shown that some of the Carolina Bays never held water. And that, Howard says, means the wind and water theories don't either.
So some of them definitely were swamps. Some of them definitely are swamps. Some of them definitely were lakes. Some of them definitely are lakes. But not all of them. But the wind and wave people, and they hadn't answered this, but they need an answer for that one. If it was a lake so long in these ancient times, as these great ancient spans of time, that this lake slowly but surely blew itself into an oval, mm-hmm. It did so without leaving any evidence that it was ever a lake. So how'd you get the hole?
And for that matter, where did all those diamonds come from? Tune into tomorrow's podcast to find out. For Pilot Online, I'm Diane Tennant.